All right, welcome to Quick Show. My name is Greg Mattson. I'm your host. In this episode, we are talking about what I call President Nelson's identity hierarchy. This is something that he is obviously focused on during his time as president of the church. He didn't start with this. This is something that has been focused on in the past by the brethren, where we're putting child of God up top, right, in that identity hierarchy structure. But he's really kind of codified it, brought it together, and made it a very central message, especially to youth, young adults, and education, you know, for example, at BYU addresses. I want to look at this a little bit closer here, and I think we should understand that this is not, the way that we should look at this is that it is truth, right? This is a hierarchical structure of identity. There is nothing that is more true than true identity. And so when we mess with our identities, when we bring labels and identities up that are lesser to God, lesser in truth, lesser in the eternities, then it changes everything, right? Those that elevate other labels and identities are consciously or unconsciously corrupting truth and order. It does change everything. It changes who you are. It changes what you think of yourself. It changes what you think of your future. It changes your relationships with others, right? Everything from, especially starting in your family, as I've always said, identitarianism would be elevating these other identities and labels above the top three that President Nelson talks about here. But its focus is to confuse, distract individuals, and to attack the traditional family. It's exactly what it does. Now, beyond that, it changes the persona that one offers up to the social world more broadly as well. So it's key to understanding our place in the world, to understanding our purpose and our meaning. And when we change that focus, all of these things begin to fall apart and are minimized. So you can see that the brethren are making a very strong a mantra, right? A very strong message to the church on our identity. And so President Nelson has come up with this, as I call it, his identity hierarchy. Listen to what he says here about your identity and making choices.
And yet, the way you think about who you really are affects almost every decision you will ever make.
Okay, I think that's exactly right. How you look at yourself is going to affect the decisions in your life, especially the most important decisions, the long-lasting decisions, the eternal decisions. Those are going to be based on your values that are coming out from who you are, right? From who, what your identity is. Now, on video, we're going to put this graphic up here. You can see what the top three identities are to President Nelson. He's trying to bring order back to a world that is falling apart through critical theory, intersectionality, and postmodernism that loosens all of these things, changes them, and reverses the hierarchical structure of identity. So at the top here, he has a child of God. That is number one. We are all, you notice how it is an identity that we share with every single human being. Secondly, it is a child of the covenant. So that would be as members of the church, addressing members of the church. You're a child of the covenant. And third, you are a disciple of Christ. Everything else, he says, everything else, all other labels and identities are going to fall below this. So on the graphic here, we've got that line delineating those top three identities and everything else being lowered. So you think about these other identities of sexual orientation, of race, of other portions of intersectionality would be gender, economic status, ethnicity, nationality, and other privileges or marginalized groups that intersectionality, which is built off of postmodernism and critical theory, assigned to us in these little groups. It's like breaking us out into ites. Now, I think that something that is very significant about his top three identities that President Nelson puts out there is, number one, yes, we're a child of God. But number two, the idea of being a child of the covenant and a disciple of Christ means that we are aimed in one specific direction. And that regardless of what the world says, or regardless of living your own truth, right, your own lived experience and other identities that are going to pull you away from a Zion type of people, that are going to pull you away from the rod of iron, moving toward the tree of life, which would go along with being a disciple of Christ and a child of the covenant. Well, the idea here is to assimilate, right? Assimilate to those other two identities. Those are built off of choices. So those second two of the three identities that President Nelson outlines are based on agency and commitment. Here is what President Nelson says about moving these other identities up above these other three identities.
Many labels will change for you with the passage of time, and not all labels are of equal value. But if any label replaces your most important identifiers, the results can be spiritually suffocating.
All right, spiritually suffocating. Why would that be? Because you're focusing on lower labels that aren't as eternal, right? Some of them are, but they're still lesser than these other three identities or roles. Contrast this with what we get, for example, in Psychology Today. Let me read you what Psychology Today here online says, you know, one of the foremost psychology magazines out there. This is what Psychology Today says about identity. Quote, identity encompasses the memories, experiences, relationships, and values that create one's sense of self. All right, think about that. That means our environment is creating our identity. That's so far what it's talking about. What are the three identities that President Nelson talks about? It is an inherent one, number one, a son or daughter of God, a child of God. And number two, based on our agency, not the environment, but our agency, this is what defines our identities. Psychology Today continues and says this amalgamation creates a steady sense of who one is over time. False. That is not steady. Even as new facets are developed and incorporated into one's identity. You can kind of see where we're getting this postmodern idea of your environment and how you feel, etc. Now, it goes on here. I want to bring these up because I'm going to talk about this toward the end here of the episode. It says identity includes the many relationships people cultivate, such as their identity as a child, a friend, a partner, and parent. These are all true, but they're lesser labels and identities. It says it involves external characteristics over which a person has little or no control, such as height, race, socioeconomic class, right? We're getting into these intersectional areas here. Identity also encompasses, it says, political opinions, moral attitudes, and religious beliefs, all of which guide the choices one makes on a daily basis. Okay, so you can see kind of the general attitude of psychology, right, of more of a secular approach to what identity is. Now, this brings us a little bit closer to breaking up into ites, like we get from the Book of Mormon, and what intersectionality tries to do, right? Putting us into several different categories, or crossing us over, so to speak, into several different categories. It puts out a question here. How does identity influence relationships? It says, features of identity can highlight similarities or differences between people. Okay, again, going back to the first identifier, the first identity of President Nelson being a child of God, there are zero differences there or similarities, right? It's all a similarity. We're all children of God. That's the first thing to look at. The second one is true in terms of division or categorizing, right? The second and third one, a child of the covenant and a disciple of Christ. Not everybody is going to choose, will even be aware of to begin with, or if they are aware, will choose to be a child of the covenant or to be a disciple of Christ. Let's go back to President Nelson as he talks about some of these other isms and breaking into these categories.
Ageism, racism, nationalism, sexism, and a host of other isms are universally limiting.
Eternal. The other three, even though one is inherent and two are by choice, the other three identities placed at the top above the line are all eternal identities, either inherently or by choice.
There are various labels that may be very important to you, of course. Please do not misunderstand me. I am not saying that other designations and identifiers are not significant. I am simply saying that no identifier should displace, replace, or take priority over these three enduring designations, child of God, child of the covenant, and disciple of Jesus Christ. Any identifier that is not compatible with these three basic designations will ultimately let you down.
All right, so think about that. Right. I mean, there's a lot of very good labels down there. I mean, look, I mean, I can be a father. That's a pretty big deal. A husband, a friend, a servant, right? A helper. These are all really good things. But ultimately, they are void without the understanding of a relationship with a Heavenly Father and our Savior as a child of God, without a commitment to ultimately the eternal covenant, right? Being a child of the covenant and choosing to follow the Savior, right? Come follow me. And being a disciple and trying to improve myself and endure to the end. Everything else will fall apart, even if they're good. They're not going to last because they're not based ultimately or tied or anchored to the most eternal core identities that we have. I can be a good father and a good husband without those other identities, but I can't do it in a sense of eternity. I can't do it in the sense of bringing and creating an eternal family. That would be the ideal of fatherhood. Right? That's the top. Fatherhood and or motherhood or a husband or a wife. So I can do all these things and be good at all of those things without those identities, but I can't place it into an eternal perspective without those three identities. There was a psychologist named Henri Tajfel. And his greatest contribution to psychology was the theory of social identity, right? Social identity theory. He proposed that groups, right? Like social classes and families and political groups and whatever else it might be, that people belonged to were an important source of their self-esteem, right? The groups gave them a sense of social identity. Think about intersectionality right now. Think about what we're breaking down into. And by the way, it's not all on the left. It's not on the left. It's all over the place. The strongest force of this is coming through intersectionality and critical theory and postmodernism, right? But it's not just on the left. These groups give us a sense of belonging and self-esteem. And in a world where our sense of identity is falling, where we are moving out of faith and more into secularism, and we're losing purpose and identity and belonging, then these things naturally arise, these other identities, where I can grab an identity and I can become a part of the group and have peers and have friends and have social support in these other identities. It's very appealing, especially to the youth. He says that in these groups, you are divided then into them and us. This is a very big part of the Marxian tenet, right? Of oppressor and victim. Very much oppressor and victim. Now, there's other them and us's, but on the intersectionality side with marginalized groups, it's and a very hard left foundation. That is a Marxian tenet. It is oppressor versus victim. Basically, what he says is that we categorize people in this way, right? Them and us. So we see the group to which we belong as the group to belong to. That's at the top. And this can be race and pushing racism. This can be a part of the revolution, put my fist up in the air, and everybody else who's against that. This can be a lot of different groups. And then you run through three steps through social identity theory. It is, you categorize everyone. This is intersectionality. Your social identification, right? This is the second stage, where you adopt the identity of the group, right? These are collective. This is collectivism. You identify, or you adopt the identity of the group. And this creates an emotional reaction and investment, and usually a worldview if it's an ideological group. And then once you've done that, the third stage is comparison. And so what this does when it is in a hyper state is that it divides us into camps, it's tribalism. And that's what we're moving toward. The idea in President Nelson's identity hierarchy is that, number one, the primary identity is there are no social comparisons. There are no comparisons whatsoever. All of us are children of God. That's number one. And then the second one is to be a child of the covenant and a disciple of Christ, inviting others to the truth. Now, you can see how identitarianism is going to eventually come into the families. And many of you have already experienced this. And this type of social theory is exactly what happens in many instances, not always. But it's a real threat for this to happen within families, because as kids especially, or a spouse, move into one of these camps away from everybody else and start putting up these identities and labels up higher than the other three identities. You know, I'm talking about people that are in the church. Of course, it happens everywhere else as well. But people that are within the church, and they move away from child of God, they move away from child of the covenant, they move away from disciple of Christ, and they lift up, right, sexual orientation. And that is where their focus and their time and their effort and their emotional response and their relationship, because of that identity focus, changes with everybody around them, including their strongest relationships within a family. It can be because of politics on either side of the spectrum. If your identity becomes a real, very much a conservative, and that becomes the highest thing, and maybe other members of your family are not conservative, right? Then you're going to start breaking that apart. That is tribalism. You are launching, advancing a label, an identity, above and beyond the other three identities. That's going to cause a problem. Of course, gender is an issue. And especially when these are used in conjunction with the Marxian tenets of conflict theory, which is us versus them. which is oppressor versus victim. This creates a real problem between kids and parents, between spouses. Eventually it turns to the church, and the brethren and the history of the church is viewed as the oppressor. This is all identitarianism. So anything in that intersectional ladder, including politics, you know, let's say, for example, you have or nationalism. I've heard some of you worry about this being, I think that Elder Ballard brought this up at General Conference once on nationalism. Look, all things are great in the right order, in the right values. If I am a hyper-nationalist, that's a problem, right? Because if that moves above those three identities, and it can, then it's wrong, right? I am turning the hierarchy on its head. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't be a patriot. That shouldn't mean that if I'm in the United States, I'm a United States citizen, I shouldn't be proud of my country. I am. I believe that we have incredible ideals. I believe in the founding documents and the sacrifices of the founding fathers. But if I move nationalism above where it shouldn't be, if I move it above that line, that's a problem. If I say that I am too much of a liberal, or a progressive, if I move party politics of being a Republican or a Democrat above those other three identities, move it above the line, I'm going to have a problem. I am going to break down order, and my relationships and my family and everything else is going to suffer because of that. My world will suffer because I have those values of identity out of order. So I hope that we can use this. I mean, when possible, refer to the graphic. Think about the line. And those things above the line are what we need to focus on. And if we're putting more time and effort or an approach to an interaction or a relationship that is above those three lines or above that line and is not a part of being a child of God or a child of the covenant or a disciple of Christ, then we're falling prey to identitarianism. We are falling prey to breaking out into tribalism and into ites. The only tribalism by choice that there should be is being a child of the covenant, being a disciple of Christ, which is not an us versus them, but rather it's an us inviting them. Identity is going to play a bigger and bigger part in our culture as it's broken down and the identities and labels of secularism become more and more valuable in our culture. Let's stick with President Nelson.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.